The size pants that you wear does not determine if you are a good friend, if you are worthy of a promotion, if you are worthy of having loving relationships. Pant size has nothing to do with that. If that number is up or down, it doesn't matter. The number that you see on the scale, that doesn't impact it at all. There's no scale that you can step onto that is going to tell you that you are worthy of love, because you're worthy of love just because you are here on this planet. Welcome to the Happiest Ever After podcast. That's right, happy-ish. Because instead of fairy tales of perfection, we celebrate real lives and real stories. I'm Tatiana, your host, and I'm here to guide you on your journey to better health and self-acceptance. Join me every week as we delve into science-backed truths about health, from understanding our bodies to caring for our emotional well-being. Let's get started. Welcome back. Today, I want to talk about something that you may or may not have heard of. I think a lot of us are familiar with the term toxic diet culture, but are you familiar with the term called almond mom? Well, I'll just get over the fact that it's called almond mom, not almond parent. But from what I've seen, a lot of young women are talking actually about the relationship between mothers and daughters and historic views on body image, what's expected, passing on some cultural norms from the previous generation. So if you're here listening right now and you're thinking, what the heck is an almond mom? What is she talking about? I'm just going to tell you first a little bit about what an almond mom is. So an almond mom is someone who may have bought into diet culture a little bit or maybe a lot. There may be some obsession with healthy eating, with body image, maybe with her child's image. And often there's obsession around fitness in there too. And what makes an almond mom is this idea that she overdoes it. And I'm not saying that there aren't almond dads as well or almond parents as a generation. It's a term that came up when an old video surfaced of Gigi Hadid's mother telling her when she was young, you know, she like had half an almond and she said, you know, have a couple of almonds and chew them very slowly because she wasn't feeling well because she hadn't eaten. So that's sort of the idea behind it and where this came from. And this is now something that's actually been talked about for the past couple of years. And there's hundreds of millions of views on social media around the almond mom hashtag. So now that you know a little bit about what it is, the thing that I want to talk about today is kind of the good thing that it can do for us as moms and women. And I think that most of the people that listen to this podcast are millennials, Gen Xers, maybe some boomers. And these terms come up and they can feel a little offensive. Sometimes we might hear maybe our kid refer to another person as being an almond mom, who's a friend, or maybe they're referring to us in that way. And it's hard. It's hard because these are just common everyday things that we grew up with that we don't view as toxic. But I actually wrote down some terms that some of the Gen Z or Gen Z, if you're in America, consider part of the almond mom vernacular or toxic diet culture. So here's some. A moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. I know Gen Xers, we all remember who said that and when. Drink cold water, it burns calories. Or they comment on your weight every time they see you or what you look like. The whole concept of cheat days and the sometimes spoken and sometimes just inferred that a child or an individual is never going to have a life partner because of what their body looks like. Now, with some of those, you can look at them and say, oh, like, I'm fine. My parents said that to me, or my mom said that to me, or my grandma said that to me, and I turned out just fine. But I would actually argue that some of us aren't doing so great. And it's because we have so much tied our worth and our value and our ability to function in a relationship on what we look like. And that's really trying. And I know this impacts me
very much. This has been something that I have struggled with my entire life. I know that I was called chubby all the time when I was young. And what's really hilarious, I have three kids of my own. I look at pictures of myself when I was young and I look at them and I'm like, I was really normal. I was really normal sized. Do I have my big Scottish cheeks? Yes, I do. And I still have them when I'm at my lowest weight. That's just what I look like. But was I large? Was I unhealthy? No, it's amazing. Many of these pictures, I've got big rosy cheeks because I love to be outside. I was always running off somewhere or doing something or adventuring and exploring. I was a very healthy child. And my mother was very concerned. I grew up with a mother who was more of a hippie, is the term that used to be. So there was the camping, there was the homemade granolas, but there was also the obsession with size and shape and not eating too much. And that was a way of showing love, wanting to protect me as a child. And I still see myself doing that to my children. So when this whole trend of the almond mom started, and when I became aware of this, the thing that I actually found most shocking was not the extreme examples, and there are some extreme examples, but actually the things that the Gen Z kids were saying, this is hurtful to me, that felt really normal. I hadn't stopped and really thought through beliefs that I have that I've just had for decades. I've had them since I was a child. I wasn't really challenged to change them. And there's something I struggle with. And because I struggle with them, I am aware now that that gets projected onto my children, even though I try not to. My fears will get projected onto them. I want to protect them. I want them to live long, healthy, active lives. I want them to feel loved and be accepted. And with that comes a lot of these internal beliefs. But let's say you don't have kids and you aren't worried about the impact that you might be having on another generation of young children, boys and girls. What is this doing to us? What have these belief systems done for us? Have they helped us? Have they made us feel better about our bodies? Have they created feelings of shame around what we look like, around where we carry body fat, around what we expect a perfect person to look like? Has that done us harm? So the reason that this whole conversation caught my eye was because Gen Z was pointing out to us what our belief systems are. And they were pointing it out from the perspective of this harms me. But it's actually an opportunity for us to look and reflect on what are our beliefs? What are the beliefs and what are the stories that we have internalized from a very young age? And how do they impact how I walk through the world, how I show up, when I feel confident about myself, all of these things? And why do I think it's so important that each of us looks inside? Is because it harms us. It harms us emotionally to keep holding on to these beliefs that we may not think about consciously every day, but they're there. They're driving us. They're like the foundation of the house. And we have built the house on top of this foundation of false beliefs. Because I can tell you right now that the size pants that you wear does not determine if you are a good friend, if you are worthy of a promotion, if you are worthy of having loving relationships. Pant size has nothing to do with that. If that number is up or down, it doesn't matter. The number that you see on the scale, that doesn't impact it at all. There's no scale
that you can step onto that is going to tell you that you are worthy of love, because you're worthy of love just because you are here on this planet. But not only that, it's a way of undermining our natural protective boundaries. We're going to talk a lot more in the future about boundaries. Season one, I had a wonderful episode around boundary setting. But the thing is, our beliefs also help us establish what our boundaries are. And if our worth and our lovability and our value and our sense of belonging is attached to the idea of what we weigh, that's a problem. So I want to give an example here. Years and years ago on my weight loss journey, because I got to a point where I was, well, morbidly obese. I was working a lot. I had 3 young children, full-time job, a challenging marriage. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to have to do something. I used to be active when I was young. So I signed up for this program and it was particularly designed for larger women. Now, with all the knowledge that I have today, would I say that it was designed for larger women? Absolutely not. It was designed for women who felt shame about their bodies because it wasn't taking into effect what your capabilities were or what your mobility was because of you being larger, or gradually transitioning you into a tougher workout or bringing you back to exercise after years away. That was not the objective of this program. This program was very much geared on a show, which I have actually never watched, but I've heard about because I'm a human with a computer and the internet. And that's The Biggest Loser. There was this one woman who ended up cracking a rib because that's how hard we pushed. It was not an act of love and mobility. The workouts were an act of punishment and shame. And this woman, she cracked her rib, went to the doctor. Doctor told her to not be doing these heavy workouts anymore, all of this sort of thing, said to take a break from the program, and she didn't. She was all wrapped up and she went back at it because, well, I'm making some assumptions here, but there seemed to be a belief that, you know, quitting meant that she was a failure. And the coach presented this woman with a cracked rib as the goal that we should all achieve, that we should all try to attain this level of dedication. But I would say that actually that cracked rib was more an example of the level of self-shame. It's not even self-shame, is it, if your whole community is telling you that you aren't good enough and you aren't worthy. You aren't worthy of saying, no, this hurts. No, this doesn't feel right. And a cracked rib's a big deal. Like, that's gonna hurt. But that's the approach that we bring. And really interestingly, at that point, I remember being so ashamed and working so hard while carrying all of these extra pounds. And if you've ever worked out with like a weighted vest or been larger, you recognize the immense effort that it takes. And yet after I lost over 120 pounds, people would say, oh, don't work so hard. Give yourself more of a rest. Oh, you need to recover. These were not the messages that I heard. So this almond mom trend that you may see on social media, I think is an amazing opportunity for those of us who may not have stopped and thought about the beliefs that we were raised with, the beliefs that we have internalized around our value and our worth and what we look like. And I'm not saying that I've gotten all the way through this, because I know I haven't. I know that this is going to be something I will continue to work on for years, to deconstruct the beliefs that I heard when I was young, and quite honestly, that are reinforced every single day when I open up Instagram or any other social media form, when I walk into the mall to go shopping and see all of the pictures that they have there are very few plus size people, and then they are very much a curated version of what they look like. So today I'm going to ask you to do something for yourself. If at any point in the next 48 hours, you look at yourself and you have an unkind thought, any unkind thought about what you look like or what your body looks like or how your body's working, stop and think to yourself, where did that come from? Why do I believe that? Is it true? Then take another minute and think about somebody that you love, family member and a friend, and think, would I think less of them? Would I think less of them if they had a few more wrinkles? Would I think less of them if they went up a dress size? Would I think that they were less lovable? And I think we all know where those answers are going. And give yourself that love. I hope that you have a beautiful week and that you join me for more of these really honest conversations. I know I've had a number of people on recently that talk about knowing yourself better, understanding yourself better, whether it's through rapid transformation therapy, human design, the Enneagram, any of these tools that help you understand who you are. I bring those to you because what I hope is that you'll be able to peel back the layer of somebody else's beliefs that you have internalized and start to find yourself within the story, finding who you really are, and value those things, value who you are, not somebody else's projection onto you. And it doesn't come from not loving you. The reason that you have some of those beliefs are often because someone loved you enough that they wanted to keep you safe. And they thought you fitting into a mold might keep you safe. And know that you are worthy just the way that you are. You are worthy of love. You are worthy of the happiness in your life, the joy that you find, the relationships that you form. I hope you have a wonderful week. Thanks for joining me on another episode of Happy-ish. If you enjoyed this episode, hit the follow button and I can promise you more content like this. But don't keep it to yourself, share it with a friend. So until next time, keep your curiosity alive, spread kindness wherever you go, and never forget that you are the author of your story. This has been an Awkward Sage production.